The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
And we welcome you back, and what a treat we have for you. As we mentioned earlier in the program, Deuce McAllister, one of the great names in SEC history. You might also say the same if you're a New Orleans Saints fan. And, of course, Deuce, thanks so much for dropping in today, and we certainly hope you've been well. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Paul. I'm doing pretty good, and thank you for having me on the show.
Well, before we get too much into the upcoming season, I think a lot of folks who remember you so well would be interested in what have you been up to. We certainly love watching you play at Ole Miss and, of course, down in New Orleans. What's happening in your life these days?
Well, I'm just watching, obviously the SEC as far as how they try to make a move as far as the Super Regionals are concerned. We are well represented in that as concerned. And, you know, we've been following a little bit of the Alabama softball team, ladies softball team. You know, I know they got eliminated, but just watched their run that they just had. And so, you know, for myself personally, I've been doing the broadcast for the New Orleans Saints as far as the radio is concerned. So we know they're in off season. They're going through a little bit as far as mini camp is concerned. So I'm still involved with sports, watching obviously the SEC closely, and just all enjoying it a little bit.
Well, Deuce, let's start with the most obvious school, Ole Miss. And I know folks in Oxford are pretty excited about year two under Lane Kiffin. How do you think it's gone, and what are your expectations?
Well, you expect them to go out and compete. You know, the thing that you knew that they had to probably get the most out of is probably defensively. And so with some of the new guys that they were able to bring in, particularly some of the mid-year guys, whether you're talking about some of the junior college defensive linemen, from a defensive standpoint, can you get any improvement there? I think that's probably one of the most critical places that you're looking to improve. Also, can you get another receiver to step up, you know, and to be able to help Matt Corral? You lost a lot of production with Elijah Moore moving on to the NFL. He goes to the Jets. You lose Kenny Iobe, tight end for them. He goes to the NFL as well. And so now, where can some production come from? You know what you have in Ely. You know, can you get Sanders maybe to give you a little bit more? Drummond, one of those older receivers. But you're looking at Jackson maybe to be able to step in. But, you know, the biggest question mark for me, where does the production come from the skill position?
Let's talk about Lane Kiffin, because, you know, he's such an interesting coach. You know, we all know his resume, not only with the Raiders, but with SC and obviously down in Florida. But many people believe this is such a comfort level for him. And it looked that part last year. But what does he need to do? What must he do for Ole Miss to get back in the contention again?
Well, I think it starts with recruiting. You know, whether you're Lane Kiffin or, you know, whether you're talking about Mike Leach or Ed Orgeron, it really doesn't matter. I mean, until you can recruit at a high level, you really, you know, year in and year out, you don't have a chance. I mean, you have an elite quarterback. We know Matt Corral is that. But do you have enough talent around him from a recruitment standpoint? You know, hey, look, yes, I can scheme up plays. I can scheme up a drive or two. But can you do it consistently? That's really where you're going to be able to say that you're an elite. You know, yes, Nick Saban is an outstanding coach. He's the greatest to probably ever coach college football. But he recruits. He recruits at a high level. And until you can do that, you know, it's very hard to be able to compete year in and year out. You know, an elite quarterback definitely helps. But to do it year in and year out, you have to be able to have the talent to be able to go out there and to fight with the Alabamas, the LSUs, the Texas A&Ms of the world.
You mentioned Alabama, and of course, a couple of days ago, Saban received yet another extension. I mean, it's almost comical to think of what he has done. But how do you stop Nick Saban? Nobody is going to be what he is. But if you're Ole Miss, if you're LSU, if you're Tennessee, if you're Georgia, how do you finally put at least a dent into this dynasty?
Well, I think, you know, you have to take it one game at a time, you know, pretty much just one year at a time. I mean, because it changes so much year in and year out. you know, with the new rules, with the transfer rules being able to come into effect, you know, you should give yourself a chance to be good year in and year out a lot easier because you're not working so much more on the development side. But at the same time, now I've got to do a great job of recruiting my own roster, which sounds crazy in itself, but that's what it's going to come down to, making sure my own roster is in a good place. And then when you talk about being able to fight Saban every year as far as some of the things that he's been able to do, I think it starts with the quarterback. You've got to have outstanding quarterback play. You can recruit some of the skill players to be able to compete in that aspect of it, but if you don't have the guys up front as well as the quarterback, that makes it tough. I mean, and then I'm going to be honest, the ball's got to bounce your way a little bit. I mean, because if you're not taking advantage of some of the turnovers or maybe even gambling on some fourth and short opportunities, I don't know if you can compete for an entire 60 minutes with Nick Saban and his Alabama Crimson Tide. And this year, I think they return eight starters defensively. So you know that they'll be a well-oiled machine defensively as Bryce Young and that offense kind of settles into what they want to be.
Let me ask you about the contenders this year, because it really starts, and some people think it stops, with Georgia. Kirby Smart has come close. We all know the backstory. No reason to retread that. But what does Kirby Smart need to do to finally end this conversation about losing to Nick Saban like everyone else and take over the SEC from him?
Protect JT Daniels. That's what you have to do. I think that they have a quarterback that could legitimately challenge to be the first quarterback taken in the NFL draft in JT Daniels. The question becomes, can you protect him? And then can you get enough weapons outside? You lose Pickens earlier this year as far as a receiver is concerned. You're able to pick up Gilbert as far as a transfer, and he's, you know, traditionally played at least tight end. They're going to probably list him as a receiver this year. It'll be interesting to see how that works out. But can I protect JT Daniels and then use some of the weapons that they have? Talent in the issue. You know, can they play together? Can they come together as far as UGA is concerned? But you have the quarterback that could at least give you the chance this year.
Deuce, earlier today in Congress, a number of people, including the president of the NCAA, Mark Emmert, testified on this name, image and likeness. I know it dates all of us to think how it would have been when you were a player and really until now. But what are your thoughts as we get ready to somehow, some way, whether it's Congress or state legislatures, we are going to see this very soon?
Well, we know 18 states have already passed legislation already. So starting July 1st, you know, 18 states have taken that role in saying that players will be able to benefit off of their name and likeness. And, you know, the NCAA has really just dropped the ball on this, because this isn't something new. This is something that they knew was coming, you know, probably legitimately, probably within the last 5 years. And so they've just been slow. They have been slow to act. And now you're asking Congress to probably step in and do something. But I don't know if Congress can even pull something off. You know, I think at some point they will make it an even playing field for everybody. And even when I say that, it still won't be even. I mean, because the haves will continue to be the haves, and the nots, the schools that can't generate those type of programs where players feel like that they're getting the most benefit as far as name and likeness is concerned, they're going to lose out on some players. And so I think there's really two big issues that the NCAA has to kind of figure out how they understand them. That's the transfer rule as far as the 1 year, not having one-time transfer. You don't have to sit out. And then a name and likeness, you know, that is going to change from what college football looked like 20 years, 10 years ago. You know, that really is going to change what it looks like going forward.
Deuce, I'm sure you hear it from, you know, players that played long before you did. I hear it every day here on this program. Old timers, I played in the 50s, 60s, 70s. That's not the way it was back then. You didn't play that long ago. But what would you say to all those former players and fans who just are having a hard time adjusting to the fact that young people are about to start cashing in on a so-called amateur sport?
I think it's two things that, you know, you really aren't paying attention to. And I think some people are paying attention to. You look at the salaries of the coaches. Obviously, they have grown to a lot of states, particularly, you know, where the public institutions, those are the highest paid people in that state. It's normally the head coaches at a college. even at some of the private colleges, some of that information is not public, so you may not know it as quickly, but a lot of times there's ways to find out. But when you look at it, social media has changed the game. So now the individual player, he's able to communicate with not necessarily just the people in his town, but anywhere across the world at this point via social media. And then I think the other thing, you know, just the ability, the TV deals, the contracts for that and the money that it brings in, you know, you've got to figure out a way, hey, look, how can we at least share this with some of those athletes? And I understand, you know, I know that some sports don't produce revenues and there are very few schools that have, you know, revenue producing sports outside of football. But when you look at what the NCAA basketball, the men's tournament, does as far as a revenue producing sport, when you look at some of the TV contracts and the revenue that football produces, the NCAA just dropped the ball on making a move. And this is how we get here, Paul.
Stu, so great to see you. We hope to see you again soon. And what a joy to hear your perspective on everything. Come back, please.
Thank you so much.
You got it. The legendary Deuce McAllister. And what a treat it was to visit with him about some of the big issues. We have to take a break. Wish we could have talked longer. That was really fun. More of your phone calls and many more guests.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
And we welcome all of you back. It has been a really busy show already with some SEC legends with Jordan and, of course, what we did there with Deuce. Deuce is fantastic. I mean, what a command of the game. Just really fun to listen to him. Let's get back to your calls at 855-242-7285. And Skylin is up next. Skylin, go right ahead.
Oh, you know, I'm a Mississippi State fan, you know. I've been one since I've been, like, 11. So, mm-hmm. You know, with the recruiting going as well as it is, you know, it allows us, like, such a special cot or Dak Prescott. It's really allowed us to get players and make big-time names for Mississippi State, you know. So that's something I wanted to talk about. But I only want another 30 or 45 seconds of your time, you know. Nah, 15, 20 seconds, but, you know, that's all I want to talk about.
That's it, huh? Well, good. Appreciate you calling. Let's check in with Braden, who is up next. Hey, Braden.
Oh, what's up?
How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing good.
Well, good. What's on your mind today?
You know, I came to call about Mississippi State too.
Okay.
Just like the last guy. Their quarterback situation lately is what I've been talking to all my friends about, you know. It's just a big question. Who do you think is going to be the quarterback next year? They got Will Rogers and some other new guys.
Yeah, you know, I think Will would be the favorite, Braden. I think he could be challenged. I like him a lot, but I know that Coach Leach has a couple of other options. I'm not sure exactly how it developed in spring. We talked about it, but I don't think it's anyone has really made that move quite yet. Gerald is up next in Texas. Hello, Gerald. Go right ahead.
Hello?
Yeah, Gerald, you're on the air. Go right ahead.
Okay, yeah. I got a question about what do you think about the Texas Longhorns this year?
I wish you hadn't asked me that. I really like Coach Sarkisian, but I'm not believing that Texas is any closer to the promised land than they were under Tom Herman.
Yeah, and I've got used to them titles when they had in the 05 and all that, and ever since then we've had nothing to look up to.
I wouldn't be surprised if Arkansas beats them in Fayetteville. I certainly think that's realistic. Thanks for the call. Dickie is up next. Hello, Dickie. Good afternoon.
Yes, a friend of mine had called a guy named Bubby about Larry Munson being was a Vanderbilt before he went to Georgia.
But, right.
I graduated from Memphis State, and I was there when Martin Luther King was killed at the Lorraine Motel, and I was in the Marine Corps Reserve, so to get from my apartment to where the fraternities were and where the girls were, you had to be, it was a curfew. No one could be out after dark, and then no one could have any sort of alcohol, which is right across the bridge in the West Memphis, Arkansas. And then, so I would go through this one intersection to get to fraternity house, and I would give the National Guardsman a six-pack of beer. And then they didn't charge me one going home. And then the next night, I would give them another six-pack and back and forth. And I knew that you had lived in Memphis. And my friend Bubby was telling me about it. And so that's all I want.
Yeah, you know, Dickie, I remember that a couple of years younger, but I distinctly remember that April 4th night in 1968. It's one of those memories that is etched indelibly in your memory. It's one of the most tragic things that that any of us have ever encountered who were alive back then. And that city, was, I remember we lived not far from an interstate, and I distinctly remember later that night, or maybe it was the next day, going outside, and we could see the National Guard trucks and Jeeps moving into town. I mean, the entire city was like a fortress.
Yeah, you couldn't be out after curfew after dark. And then we could get by.
Yeah, I mean, I was only 12, so it didn't affect me as much as it affected you with the girls. But but I do remember it, and I'll never forget it as long as I live. And it was just a terrible, terrible time. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Noah is up next in Florida. Hello, Noah. Go right ahead.
Yes. Hi. I love you so, by the way.
Thank you so much.
I have a question about Nick Saban.
Okay.
How many more years do you think he'll coach for Alabama?
No, I don't think it's possible to answer that question. And I know what we know. We know more today than we did a week ago, but I think much of it depends on, his state of mind. As long, he has said it repeatedly, as long as he feels like he has a contribution to make. I know that sounds comical from the greatest coach of all time, but I think he means that. And as long as they continue to win, I think if there's any slippage, then the dynamics change very quickly. But, we haven't seen that.
So how many more years do you think Alabama will win a championship?
I think they're on quite a run. I don't see it stopping right now.
I know they're a good team.
Yeah, well, they're a great team. Yeah, I mean, that's like, you know, knowing where the lottery number is going to land. I know you can just be bold and say, well, Nick Saban will never lose. But, I mean, I saw a stat today somebody put out, I can't remember who it was, of great coaches before 70 and after 70. And I think Bill Snyder might be the only one who has been about the same. Paterno's numbers went down. Bowden's numbers went down dramatically. A couple other coaches of note were on that list. That, you know, there's a fine line when you're the best that's ever lived, and you know, I don't think anyone knows. I mean, we all think we know. We don't. We're about to talk to a guest who covers Alabama. Really interested in his thoughts. But, you know, I think Saban's been very clear. And, you know, if something goes haywire, then I think you start paying very close attention to what's going on in that program. But right now, there's no reason to be concerned. I mean, the program is coming off of its best recruiting year ever. And I mean ever. I'm not talking about just under Nick Saban. And, you know, players want to go there. Will this, you know, 2 years from now, 3 years from now, when we have a 12-team playoff, will that change the calculus? Well, I think everything could be changed at that point. Thank you very much for the call. Jason is up next in Georgia. Hello, Jason. Go right ahead.
Hey, Paul. How we doing?
We are doing well. Thank you.
Was excited that you had Jordan Matthews on. That was awesome. I grew up a Vanderbilt fan, and my dad and I drove from Atlanta back, I want to say 2013, to Birmingham to go to the BBVA Compass Bowl Houston. And Jordan Matthews popped off in his home state of Alabama, had a 50-yard touchdown on a screen, then he goes for another 50-yard touchdown. I mean, those were the good old days. We'll see if Clark Lee can get him back. But, I mean, I agree with – I know Jordan Rogers said it once. They need to renovate their facilities or no one's going to want to come there. I mean, it looks like it's from the 90s.
Yeah, and I'm still not clear when Kansas Story Lee announced millions of dollars in renovations. I'm not an architect, but I'm not sure what they announced will put a can of paint on the problem. They need more than that.
Yeah, Paul, well, you know I'm a Dogs fan, and, you know, we lose George Pickens, and, you know, I don't want to be hypothetical here, but would you take Eric Gilbert and De'Arian Kendrick over a George Pickens? Because that's pretty much what ended up happening.
Well, yeah, I think the combination of those, yes. The thing I hate to lose about George Pickens is, I mean, we're talking about, you know, arguably the best wide receiver in the country. He can change any game, but in what you mentioned there, and I think the DB is the more important of the two, but I think Georgia, you know, Georgia has had a pretty good week. I think that would be an understatement. Speaking of Georgia, and could anybody stop Alabama? We'll talk about that next. A little bit later on, we'll talk about the CFP. We are just getting underway. We're 90 minutes in. I've had some fantastic guests with Deuce and Jordan, and we have a lot more to do. And we're coming back with a conversation about Nick Saban right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Aaron Settles joins us now. It's great to have him back. He's covered the Tide for quite a while, both for the Tuscaloosa News and later for the Athletic. Aaron, thanks for being here. before we get to the playoff question, and I do want to get into that, can you give us some backstory on the Monday announcement on Saban's extension? I know that it probably doesn't shock people, but how did this come about?
It was weird timing, wasn't it, Paul? And caught some people by surprise. An email sent out, it hit your inbox, and you did a double take. And to me, it's pretty simple. Last week was the reopening of in-person recruiting, something that Nick Saban's probably the best in the world at, and maybe the best in the history of college football. I mean, his ability to recruit has no equal. So the fact that it came literally on the heels of that opening up tells me he wanted to send a message to recruits out there who probably are being negatively recruited by other programs, saying that, hey, we don't go to Alabama. Nick Saban's not going to be there by the time you graduate. What Greg Byrne and Nick Saban and Alabama as a football program did by announcing that extension is saying, not only will I be there when you graduate, I'll probably be there when your teammate comes to Alabama as well. It's just, to me, when coaches hit a certain age, we saw this with Bobby Bowden, we saw this with Steve Spurrier, you know, yearly you would get the, okay, when you want to retire questions. And Nick Saban's dealt with that a little bit, but I think he's being hit with that on the recruiting trail, and I think this was a proactive measure by Alabama to sort of nip that in the bud.
And Aaron, it did seem like a problem a couple of years ago. Why doesn't it seem like a problem anymore?
Because he just keeps recruiting. He just signed maybe the greatest recruiting class of all time on the heels of the 2017 class, which maybe is the greatest recruiting class of all time, graduating with another national championship. But they got two and played for three. Got a, you know, three Heisman Trophy finalists out of that recruiting class with Mac Jones, Najee Harris, top five, rather, and the winner, Devontae Smith. And the fact that he came back and won a national championship. People were ready. Look, it's sort of the conversation every time Alabama doesn't play for a national championship, which doesn't happen very often. But when they don't, it's the, as the game passed Nick Saban by. You know, first it was the hurry up, no huddle, and spread. Nick Saban can't adapt to that. Then he adapted to that, and it became, can he deal with constantly losing his coordinators, his coaching staff? He just lost 50% of his on-the-field assistants. Can he deal with that? Oh, by the way, to replace the 50% he lost, he went up and got two former NFL head coaches. He seems to just be able to handle whatever is thrown at him, regardless of what it is, like he already has a plan for it. I mean, he is, and you know this, Paul, he's a CEO masquerading as a college football coach. That's what he is. And if we're going to be honest about it, he could almost literally name his price to Alabama and it would be worth it. Because, again, he's not a college football coach. He's a CEO. He's got bold leadership. He doesn't let things fall through the cracks. And when things do go sideways, which is always relative to Alabama, like a two-loss season in 2019, he sort of has a plan and learns from that and uses those quote-unquote failures to get better.
Talking to Aaron Settles, who's covered Nick Saban for pretty much his entire tenure there. Aaron, the question comes up every day. It's here, it's where you live, it's at bars and restaurants. How much longer is he going to coach? And I know it's almost easier just to say forever and he's never going to stop winning. And so far that has seemingly been the answer and it's been the correct answer. But as someone who is really close to this program, what do you think will finally, whenever that is, begin to tell Saban the time is coming?
I think one ultimate factor, Paul, I think that's his health. And you know, he's pretty healthy. The guy eats the same turkey salad for lunch every day. And I know you can appreciate someone who has that sort of discipline in their life. But I think it's his health. As long as his health holds out. Listen, I know he's got a television agent, and people always speculate, well, maybe he'll just go do ESPN one day. And I want people to think about if Nick Saban would be happy to do a 15-minute, two-segment hit on College Game Day, which is a fabulous program. It's great. We all love it. But if Nick Saban, is that competitive fire going to be quenched by doing television? Is he going to sit around on set and then do two segments, or even if it's three or four segments? I just don't see that. He's too competitive. So he wants to be a part of a team. I think he needs it. I don't think he has, quite frankly, a whole lot of other hobbies. I know he's got some businesses, but I don't think he wants to run those day to day. And I think that the determining factor on that will be how long his health holds out. And as long as that's good, he's in good, his mental decision making is still sharp, I think he'll continue to do it.
Let's talk about where we are right now with the CFP, and Saban's had pretty good success with that, as we all know. you made it, you had an interesting tweet that we put up there a minute ago, but I don't know if anyone's listening to you or me or anyone else. And I'm not even sure the people running college football are listening to themselves, because after telling us for years that nothing has changed and everything seems copacetic, it looks like they're about to just, you know, go Animal House on us, and instead of just gradually adding a couple of teams, they're going to blow the whole thing wide open. Your thoughts on where we are right now and where we're going in the next few weeks?
Yeah, my tweet was mainly, you know, having some fun. I think, unlike you, I don't think it needed to go to 12, at least not right away. Philosophically, I have no problem with the playoff. But I do find it curious that a sport that hails its traditions, its history, maybe more so than any other sport out there, maybe with the exception of Major League Baseball, they tout their history, their traditions, that they're so willing to give them up. And we've been down this path before, right, with conference expansion did away with rivalries that were we thought, you know, sort of sacred to college football. So we've seen the start of this. Now we've seen the erosion of the bowls. No one cares about the bowl games anymore because of the playoff. It's so playoff-centric. And that's going to continue with a 12-team playoff. My thing is, I think college football, I never wanted, the reason I love college football is it's not like anything else. I like the fact that it's not the NFL. I don't want it to be the NFL junior, but it's slowly doing that because they made a deal with the devil that pays a lot of people's salary and allows these programs to invest the way they do because of television money. And it's so great that you can't live without it now, and that's just the way it's headed, and that's fine. I do find it sort of curious, the whole we want to do it for access because there's sort of a fatigue. There's a saturation point with Alabama and Clemson and Ohio State. I get that. But just get better. And I understand some people say, well, that's easy for if you're LSU, if you're Georgia, if you're Florida, if you're Tennessee, all those that have the resources to do that. But other conferences don't have the code to get into the door. I get that. And that's why philosophically I don't really have a problem with a playoff. I have a problem with we're just so willing to take what we think makes college football special and to throw it away, because college football needs to be back on campus, and I hope that whatever iteration that this playoff takes, I hope it brings it back to the campus, because we've seen these neutral site games that take it to these big behemoth stadiums. College football is at its best when it's on campus, and I hope that through seeding or buys or whatever, that they come up with an iteration of a playoff system that incorporates being back on campus.
Aaron, before you go, you cover the team as well as a philosopher. How good is this Alabama team going to be?
I think it all depends on how good Bryce Young is going to be. I think the defense, after 3 years of, let's face it, I mean, the results weren't up to par for Alabama defense, especially the last 2 years. They've been, you know, in terms of being relative to Alabama standards, they've been pretty pitiful. So I think the defense is going to be much better. I think the offensive line's got the makings of being really good, which should make Bryce Young's job a little easier with the play-action passing game with that running attack. But I think the one question is his size. Paul, he's just not a size that we're used to seeing in college football. That doesn't mean you can't be successful. But we just haven't seen it. I think as far as his talents and him staying healthy will go, as far as Alabama goes, this is a really good team again. I don't have to, you know, it's not breaking news to anyone. They're really good. But if Bryce Young is the real deal, they're championship level. But I'll also say Jalen Milroe, that true freshman that came in, we didn't get to see him at A-Day. He was out for a medical condition. He's turning heads in the program. So I'm not saying that there's going to be a quarterback controversy. It's Bryce Young's job to lose. But I do think that Jalen Milroe is going to give them some needed depth at quarterback.
Tell us about him before you go, because that's a name that some have heard, but not many.
Yeah, he's a more prototypical, you know, size quarterback, about 6'2". He's very athletic, and he's got a big arm. And I think he came in and surprised some people by how well and how quickly he adapted to the college game. And I just think that, you know, with only three scholarship quarterbacks, Bryce Young, Jalen Milroe, and Paul Tyson, there was not a lot of depth there to be had. But I think that Jalen Milroe, well, based on what he did during the spring, there's reason for more optimism than we thought heading into the season.
We will be in touch, Aaron. Thank you so much. Always great to have you on.
Take care, Paul.
Aaron Suttles, just outstanding conversation there about Saban and then the upcoming season. We will take a break. We've been busy today. A lot of guests. Ross Dellinger in the next hour on what happened today on Capitol Hill with the NIL. Quite a bit of conversation there. More of your phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
We are back here late in the second hour. And how about Mark in Cincinnati? Hey, Mark.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
We are well. Thank you, Mark.
Hey, it's a great show. The one thing I haven't heard about, when Tebow was getting signed and all the pros and cons about it, I actually thought it was a genius move by Urban to relieve pressure for Lawrence. And I haven't heard anybody really talk about that.
Yeah, I think it is an interesting theory. Now, I think it's more now than later because, you know, we spent 3 weeks obsessing over Tebow, and naturally the story has abated. I think it will ratchet back up again when the real camp starts in late July on whether or not he's going to make it. But I think he helps in many ways. I think he not only does he take some of the attention away from Trevor Lawrence, he also is a resource for Trevor Lawrence to lean on.
I agree. I'm a Tebow fan, and obviously being in Ohio, I'm an Urban fan. But that's the one element I haven't heard anybody talk about, and I just thought it was genius.
Yeah, I think I've never understood the vitriol against Tim Tebow. And well, I say I can't understand it. Yes, I can understand it, but some of it's pettiness and jealousy. But you know, Tim Tebow's not going to be given anything, and I mean, we're not talking. He's trying out for a tight end position. He's not trying out for the quarterback. And yeah, I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm glad he's there though. And based on what I'm hearing, he's doing pretty well.
Yeah, I'm rooting for him. I like to see him make the team.
Well, thank you for the call. Very, very nice of you. Let's check in with Dan, who is up next in Louisiana. Hello, Dan. Go right ahead.
Hey, Paul. Thanks a lot for taking my call.
Thank you.
Paul, I'm excited about Tennessee and LSU playing in the Super Regional. Who you got?
You know, I would probably lean a little toward Tennessee. I know this has been a magical run here for Paul Maneri, and I hate to rule him out. Part of me really is pulling for him to get to the College World Series, but I just think Tennessee has been one of the best teams in the country all year long, and I think they're a little more consistent. I will also say I'm a baseball fan. I'm not a baseball expert, so you could probably find a lot better sources of expertise than me.
I don't even know Tennessee's record.
It's good. That I can tell you. I mean, I think they're the number 4 seed in the whole tournament.
Right. Well, I tell you, Paul, LSU brings that voodoo, fighting Tigers.
They do. They bring all that, and they bring an emotion, and sometimes emotion can really carry you. But I will tell you, having seen Tennessee play this year, they are dangerous, and they are extremely dangerous at home. I mean, they have won a couple of walk-offs in absolutely epic fashion. I can't wait for that series. It is really one of the more exciting weekends of the year in baseball. We are heading to the break. More on the NIL, as we have told you, a number of people, including the president of the NCAA, appeared in front of Congress today. Ross Dellinger was there. He will join us. Ken Smithmeyer in about an hour on Saban. And will he take a page out of Coach K's playbook and anoint a successor at some point? And your phone calls at 855-242-7285.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.